was instructed to enter the runway, the Coast Guard pilot was told to hold short of the runway or to stop before entering it. The pilot, who was severely injured, said that he had received runway clearance.
All 379 people on the Japan Airlines plane were able to get out after it burst into flames, but five of the Coast Guard crew members died. The captain was able to escape but was badly injured. Hamas says an explosion in Beirut killed one of its top leaders. Lebanon blames Israel, but CBS's Cammie McCormick tells us
Israel hasn't acknowledged it was behind the attack. In the West Bank, there were protests by Palestinians. And at the UN, a spokeswoman for the Secretary General calls it extremely worrying.
This just really highlights what the Secretary General had just said about the dangers of the spillover of this conflict in the wider region.
Four southern border crossings are back open tomorrow. Immigration reporter Camilo Montoya Galvez is in Eagle Pass, Texas.
There's been a significant decrease in migration, and officials are attributing that to increased enforcement by the Mexican government in the interior of Mexico to stem the flow of migration before migrants even reach the U.S. border.
Seems like everyone is sick right now. COVID hospitalizations have more than tripled at St. Joseph's Medical Center in New Jersey compared to a month ago. Dr. Nilesh Patel.
It's concerning in the sense that the volume of patients is higher. They are sicker, especially patients that are the most vulnerable, that have comorbid disease, things like cancer or respiratory disease.
It's not just COVID either. More than half the country's seen a spike in COVID, flu, and RSV. Oh, snow. The East Coast may get its first major storm of the winter this weekend. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen on who's getting hit.
Most weather maps are indicating that this will turn into a rather intense storm system, and there will be rain and snow heavy at times. Moving on up 95 from the D.C. area right through Philadelphia to New York City.
Some good news as you struggle to pay off that Christmas present debt. Gas prices are dropping. AAA says the price for a gallon of regular has fallen under $3 across most of the country. Of course, that's not the case everywhere if you live in Hawaii, California, and Washington State. You're still paying over $4 a gallon. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here come the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Chicago Bears Sunday at 3:25 at Lambeau Field. Now, if the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. But the Bears have improved. They won four of their last five games, including beating the division leaders, the Detroit Lions. Matt LaFleur.
It really means nothing unless we take care of business in Lambeau. We were in a similar situation a year ago and couldn't get it done. So we know it's going to be a tremendous challenge. I think Chicago is as improved as any team, and I'm sure they'd love nothing more than to knock us out of the playoffs.
College hoops, the Badgers with a win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Guard Chucky Hepburn able to play for much of the game after recovering from an injury over the holidays. Greg Guard.
You know, we're fortunate that we had the break that we had, you know, in terms of the days off and the rehab and stuff that he's been doing, but he's feeling good, and I thought he did some good things, especially the second half. He got going defensively and sparked us.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach, Greg Guard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A little freezing drizzle and a few flurries this morning, and then we will stay mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the day, although we may see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high, 31, the wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 27. Friday, cloudy, 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine joins us once again.
City Bums World, we had our holiday party last night.
You scheduled this holiday party for your company just thinking it was a cool little bar.
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle of a singles mixer. Some guy stops me, hands me a card with someone's name on it and a phone number.
What is over the back fence? Let's say you have a
three-piece children's luggage set.
Or a
seven-quart digital air fryer.
Or a
2019 Cadillac.
For sale. Just call up 424-2600 on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Describe your item and wait for the calls to roll in. It's your on-air bulletin board only on WFHR.
On this Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024, it is 6 minutes past 7 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you along. We're coming up in just a bit here. I'm going to talk to Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, about some of the issues that are facing education in Wisconsin. And then in our second half hour, Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters joins us to talk about some new guidance regarding absentee ballot access in Wisconsin, where the rules aren't as ironclad, and I mean ironclad to the point where it was getting to be too easy to take voters' best efforts at voting and stick those ballots into the shredder. And that'll be a little tougher for certain people to do based on new guidance that was put out yesterday. But first, we're going to get an update on the weather forecast. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us from Wausau now, where temperatures in the state have been ranging right around the freezing mark today. And let's see what we've got for the rest of the day and into midweek. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How was your commute in, or have you been outside? Have you seen if it's drizzling out there yet?
Brittany, my commute consists of going from the coffee pot and taking about four steps into my home office here. And then once every three to four days or so, my wife pushes me out the door and says, go outside and play and go get some fresh air. So I have not broken my hermit-like existence and am entirely dependent upon you to tell. You could tell me it's raining cats and dogs right now, and until I open these drapes, I wouldn't know.
Oh, that's amazing. You are lucky. We want that.
Well, I am, but not
on radar right now.
Yeah. So tell us more about what we're getting.
Yeah. So it looks like Lake Chippewa up towards Hayward, St. Croix up there, Park Falls, maybe off 77 and 13. You're starting to see some drizzle kind of going on. And with our temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark across the state, we could see some icy spots out there, especially if there's any untreated surfaces. So the first thing I want you to pay attention to if you're up north is make sure that when you step out the door, it's not icy and slippery. I've had that happen to me before during these conditions. So that's the first heads up this morning. But if you're not leaving, you're good to go. It's a pretty easy day today. We just got a cold front pushing in and not much to deal with besides that. So as it drops through the state today, it's going to bring chances for flurries. So our temperatures are in the low 30s right now. As we hit towards 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon, that whole front will pass through the entire state at this point, and then we'll be sitting in those upper 20s and continuing to crash cold tonight. So we've got this cold air sitting on our back doorstep, and that's going to create a little bit of a problem. So what that means is this drizzle up north, still freezing in some spots, flipping over to flurries, some light snow showers throughout the state throughout the afternoon. Very, very light. I'm talking a trace. So a half an inch would be max. And I think the half an inch is going to be up towards the Hayward, Eau Claire kind of area. So as that drops down, I mean, Milwaukee, you could even see a few flurries, but no accumulations are expected. Otherwise, just cloudy skies today and teens tonight. You're getting chilly out there.
Sounds like it. Yeah, Brittany, I appreciate the note on the untreated surfaces. I know right before Christmas one day, I stepped out of my Jeep and onto an icy patch, and I looked like the full cartoon character, you know, with the feet going up either side from out of me. Yes. Didn't break my coccyx, but it did remind me that that's a really funny word about what can happen to you if you fall on these slippery surfaces. So watch out for that. Hey, Brittany Merlo, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Let's bring in Dr. Jill Underle now, State Superintendent of Public Instruction from the Wisconsin DPI. Dr. Underle, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you along here, especially as we start off a new year. In doing so, we get to talk about, you know, the challenges that are facing the public education overall in Wisconsin. We're at the start of a calendar year. We're in the middle of a school year, but how would you talk about the current state of education as Wisconsin heads into 2024?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, we are approaching the end of that first semester for so many kids. And what we're seeing, I think the challenges we're going into 2024 are still there, the same ones from 2023 and before. But, you know, there's just a lot of reasons for hope, too. But what we're seeing right now in our communities, we're out talking to people with our strategic planning process. And so we're hearing directly from Wisconsin school personnel and families and library staff and even students about what their challenges are. And we're hearing about shortages of teachers still in the classroom and support professionals such as like food service workers and bus drivers. We're also hearing about achievement and wanting special education funding specifically, because that benefits every school in Wisconsin if we're able to increase that. We're hearing about transportation challenges, mental health still, you know, that's on the minds of a lot of parents and teachers, and the need for additional support in our schools, especially to help students. And we're also hearing about, just the worries around the ugly partisan and extremist rhetoric that we read in the media or that we see on TV or we just hear. It's contributing, of course, to additional stress and anxiety. And when we talk to teachers or administrators, why they are leaving, perhaps, parents see this too. It's because they're concerned about, you know, the politicization and the extremist language that is being used in our schools. Those voices are a small minority, but it's really a distraction.
They're allowed minority. They have been building since 2011, and not just in Wisconsin. We're seeing, you know, yesterday with the resignation of the president of Harvard, you know, just and of course the Wisconsin legislature's attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
Right.
We're seeing attacks on education from new fronts, not just the usual fronts of taxation. Now we're hearing more about book banning and all of this.
Yeah.
And through it all, you know, we often say, well, teachers are still doing their best. Educators are still doing their best because they are, because there's still some good quality out there. But that's not to say that these challenges aren't extremely real. You know, when you've got support staff competing essentially with the school districts are competing with Quick Trip, you know, for the support employees that keep the cafeteria and the library running. These challenges are real.
Yeah, and you've got teachers also. I mean, they've got these transferable skills that a lot of corporations and companies want, right, in their employees. Strong work ethic, you know, they have degrees, they are organized. There's a lot of things that, you know, teachers bring to the package, and they are getting poached from school districts. But you're right, Pat, when you think about the attacks have started since 2011, you think about like the attacks on teachers and public service workers, you think about the attacks then on curriculum, you know, in the past couple of years, and then attacks on LGBTQ and trans kids in particular. And now we've got attacks on libraries and books, and, you know, people are tired of it. I mean, these are distractions, and it's really hurtful, you know, what's going on, and it's distracting from the real work that we need to do.
So for a time there, part of the message that was coming out was get involved, you know, run for school board, for example. We talked about that a lot in November and December. Well, now we're, you know, yesterday was the filing deadline. So, you know, the people who are going to run are going to run. So now looking forward from there, for folks who are supporters of public education in Wisconsin, you know, what is it that you'd like to see them do more or more of?
Yeah, I mean, that is a very critical piece, you know, just being vocal about your support for your public schools. You know, you think running for office is a great way to do it, but if not everybody can run for office, nor does anybody, not everybody wants to run for office. But certainly just being supportive, going to the meetings, you know, being a supportive voice, you know, supporting the teachers, supporting the principals and the superintendents, reaching out to them, you know, like, I know we have like weeks, you know, like Public School Appreciation Week or School Board Week, you know, and those are coming up. But I mean, outside of those times, you know, just a note of appreciation. I know that, you know, we always think about the season of gratitude, right? You know, in the winter months, and just getting a note. I'll tell you what, that always made my day. That always made me feel, you know, supported, and just hearing from parents, and keeping those lines of communications open between parents and teachers is extremely important too for support.
Yeah, so show that communication, show up at the meetings, show up on election days, which will be, you know, April 2nd for this time around. Dr. Jill Underly is joining us for this portion of Up North News Radio. And before I take a short break here, I don't want to forget, in noting the passing of former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl, your kind words, and rightly so, recognizing his leadership for education in Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was certainly a champion for public education and school kids. And he had so many gifts and so many talents that he graciously shared with all of us in Wisconsin. I mean, he was, you know, not only a senator, as I had said in the statement, but, you know, a successful businessman, philanthropist. He was a sports leader. He was a community leader. He was really the best friend that Wisconsin schools, educators, and kids could have. And he has left us an incredible legacy here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, through leadership and through that recognition that while he was, you know, born into means, it did not mean that, you know, that he could not be generous with the gifts that he had amassed, you know, through hard work, but also through, you know, through the efforts of his other family. It contrasts with other folks who, unfortunately, are really influencing Wisconsin politics with a whole lot of money poured into the political system rather than in support for our schools. And so that's one way that we're missing former Senator Kohl in a big way. Talking to Dr. Jill Underly here, again, with folks looking at school board elections, they're going to hear about, they're going to get, I mean, there's more political advertising than ever before for local school board races. What do you hope voters keep in mind when they start to hear some of these political messages?
Yeah, so what I hope voters keep in mind is that public schools are for everybody. They are, you know, our community stalwart, right? They are for every kid. Doesn't matter your background or your means or who your parents are or any of that stuff. And they are supposed to be nonpartisan because they are for everybody. And when you think about it, at the end of the day, this is a message I always, you know, would talk about with my school board, is that we all want the same things, right? We all want a great school in our community. We all want our kids to be healthy and successful. We want great teachers. We want strong leaders. And we want to graduate great kids so that they can go out and return the favor in our communities. And it's supposed to be nonpartisan. And that's where we're falling away, not kind of falling away. We are falling away from that idea that public schools are for everyone.
Let's talk about getting back to that in just over 60 seconds with Dr. Jill Underly next here up north.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, They are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And I, when we were communicating about getting together today, there's just a very simple phrase that was in one of your emails that I think puts it so concisely what we should be fighting for in education circles today, given some of the current challenges. And all it says here is protecting the freedom to read. And that's really what this is about. It's not somebody else gets to impose their moral code on other parents, but protecting the freedom to read as well as the freedom to teach. Talk more about the importance of that for you.
Yeah. So the freedom to read is at the heart of our schools and our public libraries. And as state superintendent, I oversee the public schools and public libraries in Wisconsin. And that is truly what we believe. And we all should believe in the freedom to read. Everyone deserves access to information from all different perspectives. We should all be able to find something that meets our needs in our libraries. Libraries are the spaces that are free of judgment. And our schools and our public libraries provide that inclusive, welcoming space that provides incredible opportunities for our children to grow as readers, as learners, and as people. And you think about even as adults, I mean, we are continually growing, right? And we're constantly looking up information and having that access to that information so that we can grow as learners well after we're finished with school. And so we need to protect that right.
So as you see these attacks on on curriculum, and on books, and on even programs to be more diverse and inclusive. And we see more of that in Wisconsin. What is it that you think motivates that? When you see somebody like the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, almost single-handedly trying to bully, say, the UW system out of its diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, programs and taking away funding and all of that, what is it that motivates that kind of action against education at all levels?
Well, I think it motivates the base, right, of the people that these politicians are trying to motivate to vote, right? And there's a lot of misinformation out there about what books, for example, are accessible to certain grades in different schools. And so people get outraged over, you know, what's available. And then it's not true. It's not accurate, you know, what these individuals are saying in order to whip up this outrage. And then it turns public schools into, it fuels distrust, right? And fueling distrust in our public institutions is, you know, that's certainly one of the things in the playbook if you're going to undermine democracy. When you don't have trust in your public institutions, that's certainly you're on the road to, you know, a society that is not free.
And so before the holidays, we had this case where the UW Board of Regents was asked to vote on something that had been worked out between Voss and Jay Rothman, the president of the Universities of Wisconsin. There was a vote by the regents first to reject it, but then there was a reversal as somebody who's a voting member of it. I mean, what did you make of the two votes and the debate that surrounded all of that?
Yeah, you know, frankly, I think that the process was unacceptable. I mean, this was not something that should have happened at all. The legislature had put the Regents in a bad spot because these pay raises in the campus buildings were already approved by the legislature in the budget. And then they were taken out and essentially held hostage unless they met these politically motivated demands. And as a Regent, I mean, I remain incredibly committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they are the guiding principles for our work and the foundation of our work at the department. And we're going to continue the important work of closing those gaps and making sure our students of color and LGBT students and all marginalized students feel safe and included. But yeah, going back to the process, I wasn't really able to fully participate in the process. I respected the process, however, even if outside forces weren't respecting the process. But yeah, it should not have rolled out that way. Regents were put in a bad spot.
Well, and you've been a leader on this issue from a public instruction standpoint. Your state of education addresses have not shied away at all from talking about the importance that should come with having every student feel included, whatever their circumstance. Why is that such a primary motivation for you when talking about public education writ large?
Well, that's the, going back to what I said before, it's like public education and having trust in our public institutions. People don't know this about me, but I majored in history when I was an undergraduate student, and I was fascinated with the history of education. And you think about why public schools were started in the first place, or how they looked even 200 years ago. Girls couldn't attend schools in high school, for example. They could maybe attend up to like sixth grade or eighth grade. You can only attend school if you had money. We've come a long way. And when you think about why we have public education, it's because it is for everybody. Everybody needs to feel included. Everybody needs to be included. Everybody needs to be safe. And in order for our society to flourish, you need to have inclusion. And you need to have programs that help inclusive practices prosper too.
Well, isn't it really, when it gets to the root level of it, for all of the folks that say, well, you just need to get back to basics and teach the basics of learning, it feels like you're actually you're setting the basics for the basics. In other words, we've said it about hungry kids. You can't learn if you're hungry. But similarly, you can't learn if you're being bullied. You can't learn if you're being marginalized.
Right. You think about work, right? I mean, I think adults think, oh, when I was in school, this is how it was. But you think about like work nowadays too. I mean, when you're at work, if you're being harassed at work, or if you are being discriminated against at work, you want somebody to do something or you leave, right? And that's really, we have to transfer that to the experiences of individuals learning. I mean, these are kids, first of all, and we have adults transferring their problems on to kids, and they are, creating laws that attack kids. I mean, they're creating laws that attack the most vulnerable kids, right? And, as state superintendent, as a parent, I'm always going to be fighting to make sure that all kids are included, and not just in elementary and secondary, but in higher ed too. I mean, we have to do better.
Well, and that's putting it mildly. And that's where we need people who are, being an advocate for the kids, not just from the basics of the lessons, but the freedom that comes in the curriculum, but also the freedom to be able to learn and be free from some of these external factors like discrimination, like hunger, like other disparities. So Dr. Jill Underley is leading the way on that as superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction. Dr. Underley, thank you so much. It was great to get an update from you. Hope you have a great start to the new year.
Yeah, thanks for the chat, Pat. It was great. Thank you.
You bet. All right, take care now. Again, Dr. Underley. And as always, when we have guests on, and if you want to follow up with any questions or concerns, you can always call us here at 844-967-2789. You can call that number or you can text it. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on any of the live video feeds on our Facebook pages for Civic Media or for Up North News, put a comment there and we'll take a look and try to respond to that as well. When we come back, we will talk to Deb Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters
there's been some changes, some guidance, added guidance in how to handle absentee ballots in Wisconsin so that we can make sure that your vote counts if you vote absentee. That's coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
The children's hell will slowly go by and be.
You're
from the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. A senior Hamas leader was killed in Beirut. Lebanese officials blame Israel. CBS's Jared Hill.
In Lebanon, Hezbollah leaders have threatened a severe reaction, while Lebanese officials say the strike violates their sovereignty.
The former president's appealing a ruling to take him off the primary ballot in Maine. Campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman.
Last week, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows disqualified Trump from Maine's ballot for engaging in an insurrection. Bellows had paused her decision to give Trump an opportunity to appeal. The case will now go before Maine's Superior Court.
A 30-year-old man died after running on the tarmac at the Salt Lake City airport and climbing into a plane engine. Passengers are shocked.
Surprised that somebody made it that far.
Seems like especially surprising to get on the airside of an airport on your own.
The aircraft's engines were rotating at the time he died at the scene. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met Tuesday morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increase last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and in the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
A little freezing drizzle and a few flurries this morning, and then we will stay mostly cloudy for a good chunk of the day, although we may see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high, 31, the wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 27. Friday, cloudy, 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 30.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water. Then stir it with a shovel.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's election day again. How did that sneak up on us? It's not going to sneak up on you. There are some big days to know about. And let's start with the general elections. As you know, we have spring elections in Wisconsin, primarily for local nonpartisan races. We have then the big general partisan election in November, but then there's primary elections before that. So that's why there's four election days this year to know about. The first one is going to come up February 20th. That's if there's any primary elections for April 2nd, which is the general spring election, but it's also Wisconsin's presidential primary. And then, of course, everybody's talking about, you know, November 5th, which will be a presidential election, and for U.S. Senate, legislature, all these other seats. The primary for that one will be August 13th, which often doesn't get its due. So you're going to hear a lot about the importance of making sure you vote August 13th. Well, it's the middle of summer. And so a lot of people aren't going to want to necessarily show up and vote. They might have other summer plans, which is why we have absentee balloting in Wisconsin. And there are some changes, or maybe clarifications would be a better way to put it, in terms of the guidance for that. And so Deborah Kronmiller is going to join us to talk about that from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Deborah, nice to have you here again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
So when we talk about ballots, and I mentioned this at the top of the show this morning, that there's three different possible topics. One is who's on the next ballot. And that was decided yesterday by a bipartisan commission that put on President Biden for the presidential primary ballot, some other Republican candidates, also former President Trump. So now we know who's on the ballot. There's the second matter of, you know, should former President Trump be on the ballot, the controversy over his eligibility, as we're seeing in Colorado and other states. And then the third thing about the ballot, and our main topic, will be the absentee ballot rules. So let's dispatch of the other ones here just for a moment. We know that there will be, you know, which candidates will be on the ballot. And those ones, again, are Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, and former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. In terms of the eligibility of Trump to be on the ballot, the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. So I understand that the League does not take a position on eligibility. What you're really all about is what? Stability and certainty for the voters, so the voters know what their options are one way or the other, right?
Correct. We've been putting out voter information for 103 years. You know, our hope, our intent is to ensure that voters have the information that they need to make the choice they want to make with regard to what candidate they vote for. Our voter guide, the Vote 411 guide across the state and across the nation, helps voters to understand candidates at all levels of government. And we think this is one of the most important services that we provide to voters.
Yeah. So the sooner that voters have that certainty, not just in Wisconsin, but in Colorado and Maine and other places, you know, the better for voters, so that you can really get into that next part, which is encouraging people to vote, educating them on how to vote. But then especially in the area, for the purposes of this discussion, voting absentee. And absentee voting really has changed over the years. Many people say for the better, that it makes it easier for every eligible voter to vote. Not everybody necessarily agrees, but Deborah, talk about the importance of absentee ballot availability for people who want to vote in some of these things, like an August primary in the middle of summer.
Right. We think that the absentee ballot, and in Wisconsin, where our absentee ballots are available to anyone who chooses to have them, we don't need an excuse to get an absentee ballot here in this state. And that's a wonderful advantage for voters. But we do have other barriers to voting. You know, we have the strong ID rules. We have strong proof of residency rules. Those are, you know, issues that the league has fought against. We'd like to make access to the ballot even more widely available. But within the system we have, we try to educate voters to ensure that if they avail themselves of an absentee ballot, if they vote at their polling place on election day, their vote will count. And yesterday's very important decision in the Dane County Circuit Court is just one step toward ensuring that that vote will count, that if there's an immaterial witness signature error in having nothing to do with the voter's eligibility, their qualification as a citizen, their age, their residency, that ballot will count. And going back all the way to 2022, in the White case, the judge in that case decided that the guidance that the Wisconsin Election Commission had previously issued and had been used by clerks in Wisconsin for years to cure or, you know, fix a missing piece of information, or if the witness had written, you know, same in the address for the witness, indicating they had the same address as the voter themselves. You know, clerks had always been able to just say that the address was in fact the voter's address. Well, the White decision threw some, you know, wrench into that works and really created uncertainty about what clerks should do. Some clerks decided they could still remedy, some clerks decided they couldn't. And that, you know, kind of disparity in how voters were being treated is what brought the League of Women Voters back to the courts to get some clarity on that particular issue. And in fact, what the ruling said yesterday was the using the materiality clause of Section 101 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that no person should be denied their right to vote due to an immaterial error, a paperwork type of problem, because that has nothing to do with determining their eligibility as a voter.
Right. The in Tuesday's order, the Dane County Circuit Court wrote, quote, "The witness address requirement is not material to whether a voter is qualified. As such, rejecting ballots for trivial mistakes in the witness address requirement directly violates the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. And look, I'm the one who gets to use stronger language here, but you were the one that has been fighting for this. There are people out there, in my estimation, of rather nefarious intent, who, for the most minor of circumstances, would want to challenge and toss out absentee ballots. And I don't see how that isn't as bad a violation of the Civil Rights Act as, you know, say the poll taxes and the other things of old. Any barrier to voting that isn't based in, you know, outright intentional fraud deserves to be challenged in court by groups like yours.
Yes, and that's what we've been doing, and we will continue to do it. A voter's right is sacred, and it's guaranteed in the Constitution. Our statutes in Wisconsin lay out some additional restrictions for voting, but as long as you are an eligible voter, your vote should count. And I can't agree with you more, Pat, that the, you know, if you were a person with a physical disability, cannot walk physically into a polling place, you should be entitled to use curbside voting. That's what our statutes say. Curbside voting is not employed equally throughout all polling places in Wisconsin. And we fight every day to make sure that that does happen, because it is the voter's right to have that access. And using absentee ballot, making sure it's counted, it's the same fight in just a different iteration.
Right. And now let's not give the impression that voters should be intentionally sloppy with their ballot either. I mean, with voting does come a degree of responsibility, right?
Absolutely. And the advice that the league has been giving for years for individuals using absentee ballots is to be careful with that ballot. Make sure that all the voter information is completed accurately. Make sure that your witness information is fully completed. And that is just one step a voter can take to ensure that their ballot will be counted. But what we have seen and why we brought this case in court is that there are some individuals who, when their spouse wrote in same, the voter saw that as, well, of course it is. We're married. We live in the same house. We own this property together. And they didn't see that that was an incompletion or incompletely filling out that witness signature box. And because in their mind, it was filled out. It's the same.
It is. It makes sense to them. And now this court is saying it should make sense to an average person discerning where you can find that voter. Let's get to the presidential primary for a moment. We've got a great text question that came in from Bud in Janesville. And this gets asked for basically every primary, but certainly for every presidential primary. Bud writes, can I, as a Democrat, vote for a Republican other than Trump? And it should just say for any Republican, but we know where Bud stands. Bud's asking, can I, as a Democrat, vote for a Republican other than Trump in April? Let's go ahead and make it writ large. Can a self-identified Democrat vote for a Republican candidate in the presidential or any other primary?
Yes. In Wisconsin, we do not need to declare a party affiliation. However, we need to stay within the same party on any given ballot. So if someone who would self-identify as a Democrat wants to vote for the Republican candidates, they can do so, but they can't just choose the presidential candidate. They would have to vote the whole slate of Republicans and not vote for any Democrats on the ballot, top or down ballot.
It's like this double-edged sword. You have this freedom that you don't have to declare, you don't have to register as a Republican or Democrat, unlike in other states. But it does lead to this scenario that we hear about all the time. And this is going to happen come August, for example. There's going to be a contentious primary for, say, county sheriff amongst two Republicans, but there's also a primary amongst, two Democrats for a seat in the legislature. And because there's no, say, Democratic sheriff candidate, people know that if they vote in the primary, that's going to decide who's going to be the sheriff, but now they can't vote in the Democratic primary. That leads to this question, and I don't know if you necessarily know the answer. The states that do require you to register as a Democrat or a Republican and the states that don't, isn't Wisconsin kind of like an outlier, unique amongst other states or not?
We are an outlier in that regard because our ballot actually shows all of the candidates. However, they're broken on the ballot into all of the races for that particular party. So if you choose to vote in the Republican section of the ballot, you need to stay in the Republican section. You can't choose one Republican and one Democrat and one independent. That will spoil your ballot. And the instructions will be clear from your poll worker. The instructions you receive with your absentee ballot will be clear because we have all of the choices on a single ballot and you're not being issued the party's ballot, it's the onus is on the voter to be careful and not cross parties.
Yeah, it's one of those ways of saying, look, here in Wisconsin, you have that freedom that you don't have to declare a party, but that doesn't mean you can go over and make mischief over in somebody's other party, tempting as that is at some point. Quickly, time for one more question here. And I asked off air what you were doing, what else you were doing to start the year. You're noting that January 6th is coming up, and that was truly an attack on not just the government, it was on voters as well, right?
It certainly was. I think when voters cast their ballots and our electors are chosen and duly appointed, they need, we need our voices to be heard, and that's the system that we have according to the Constitution. And trying to disrupt that system was a huge injustice to voters. And I really think that our democracy is as strong as its voters are. And as we stand up and try to remember that this was an assault on the individuals who make our democracy what it is.
Yeah, any effort to change the results of a free and fair election is an attack on all voters. Deborah Cronemiller from the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. As always, such a pleasure to talk to you, Deborah. Come back again soon.
Thank you.
Going to have a very busy year ahead of us.
We are indeed. We're getting ready.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Deborah. Have a great day. We'll come back.
Thanks,
and we will talk to Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show and wrap up our conversation for this Wednesday. You're up north.
It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
So I've got this New Year's resolution to be a little bit nicer, maybe a not quite as sarcastic all the time. And then Todd Alba shows up, and he makes it so darn easy to just completely go against that. Todd Alba joins us now as he continues spinning his... Are you spinning your phone or your computer sideways repeatedly over there, young man? And now he can't hear us either. Greg, what are we going to do with Todd Alba? You're through the video screen. We are making all kinds of hand gestures.
How about now, Todd?
Hey, you took your mic off mute. There you go, buddy. Come on, let's do it. Oh, he's resetting his video and his audio again.
Welcome to radio in 2024.
His palatial home office. Yeah. Here's the thing. Todd sends a text message about a minute ago or so saying that he needs the link. Well, I went back, Greg, and I checked because one of my other New Year's resolutions was to be more like Todd and Aaron Zommers, former board operator here in the morning, who's now the board operator for Todd Alba.
Yeah.
Aaron sends out the information on how to join the show a week in advance, you know, because you have to click on, you know, this computer link or that computer. Yeah. It's a different link every day for security reasons to join the show.
Yeah.
I usually send them out the day before.
Okay.
But for Todd or, for Aaron rather, as part of Todd's show, Mr. Zommers sends out those links, you know, a week in advance. And I thought, I'm going to be more like Aaron. And so last weekend, I prepared all of this week's links ahead of time, and I emailed them to all the guests and all the regulars. And I'm looking right now, and I'm looking at Todd's name. It's right there. I sent him the link.
Pat.
But he still didn't have it. And now he's got the link, and he still can't get his computer or phone to work either.
Pat, I have something for you. Pat, I have something for you.
What do you have? Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I did not set out to be a superhero, but you know, some days superhero status is just thrust upon you.
You're the hero we deserve, not the one
you are
need.
The hero you all deserve. If you're listening to me yammer 5 days a week, I believe that's Mr. Alba on the hard line there, using the technology that is more in line with the Luddite that Todd Alba often is for us. Mr. Alba, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, you're just like laying into Mr. Alba.
I am. I
would never speak of the Todd father in such a way, ever.
Well, you know, it's like that Sound of Music song. How do you solve a problem like Todd Alba?
You're really good with the musical and literal references. Yesterday I was talking to you about another matter and you quoted Ebenezer Scrooge at me. He's like, I don't wish to remain anonymous. I wish to be left alone.
Can I tell you both something? Can I tell you both something? Yesterday, my mother told me about it and I found it. I found what I believe is the first Christmas Carol movie, which is a 10-minute picture made by the Edison Company. It's the entire Christmas Carol made in 1910. And it's 10 minutes long and it tells the entire story. And I think that's how we should always tell the Christmas Carol story in 10 minutes.
I maybe for most, but you're not going to get me to not watch A Muppet Christmas Carol with Michael Caine every year.
Michael Caine.
Because that's Michael Caine. He blew the bloody doors off. Yeah, I love that movie. But yeah, if anybody else can tell it in 10 minutes, I would appreciate that. Todd, how was your holiday break?
Well, you know, it was fine. I ended up traveling all over the state. I was up in the Chippewa Valley for a few hours. I was over in Shawnee, went to see Mino and the Mayor in Green Bay, and was at Richland Center celebrating Triviathon, and a world record holder for longest dance teacher at 77 years. So I was all over the place.
Wow. See you in Milwaukee or Waukesha, Todd. Thanks.
Sadly, I did not get to the beautiful southeast part of the state.
But still, what a brand ambassador between you and Mathers. I don't know who's logging more miles here as the ambassador for civic media.
Well, it's fun. It's fun. It's one of the great joys and pleasures of having a statewide network where you get to travel all over and see folks. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, not quite as sunny as you down in the beautiful Caribbean, but you know,
I wasn't in the Caribbean. 64. I was in South Texas. Well, get it right. Come on.
I'll say it. You were sunny, but hey, I spent part of Christmas Day in Eau Claire where it was 54 degrees, having the Chinese takeout in the garage. So, I mean, you know, happy holidays.
Jesus, Todd, okay.
Which we should explain is because somebody in your family tested for COVID, and so you all were staying separated in the garage very responsibly in a 54-degree Christmas Day.
Exactly.
Made that a little bit easier, didn't it? Yeah.
It did. My brother-in-law, who teaches at Eau Claire, God love him, he's recovering. Best wishes to him. But yeah, just to kind of keep everything, you know, kosher, we stayed apart. But the blessing was we still got to see each other across the lawnmower over an oil spill for you know, 50 minutes. That was fine.
Only you could give us keeping it kosher when talking about Christmas dinner. Listen to you.
Which was Chinese food, which is pretty kosher.
Which was Chinese food. I mean, honestly. You are all over the map and you're all over the board today, Alba. You just are. Did you get in terms of Christmas presents, did you get anything that was especially nice and memorable and remember your entire family is listening right now?
Well, you know, the nice thing is our family has kind of gone away from the big gifts and everything and the whole. It's too much pressure. You understand? It's like my online life. I can't handle my real life. I can't. That's why I'm really bad at social media because I just can't handle an online life. And so we've gotten rid of the big gifts. And so like if we see something, you know, fine. But my mom gave us all these really cool rechargeable candles, but they're more like a lantern. So it actually looks like a flame, the LED and everything. So that was kind of cool. You know, enjoy that. Otherwise, it was just, you know, getting together and some good food, and it's a lot less stress. I know it doesn't help the economy, but, you know, but really after gold, myrrh, and silver, I mean, you know, everything else is downhill. So
don't forget that frankincense, baby.
Yep, frankincense. I do always enjoy now part of the social media era is that you get these memes at Christmas time about, you know, Mary, she's in a manger. And she could really use, like, you know, diapers and, you know, all of this. And instead, she's like, what am I going to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? And then this kid shows up and says, what this baby needs is a drum solo. It's like, yeah, where did we get these things like little drummer boys and gifts that don't really befit a baby? But
Other people have seen it, but there was like a card that said, you know, if there'd been three wise women, they would have, you know, done a lot better. Yes. They would have given practical gifts. You know?
Yes, as well they should have been. But still, it was an enjoyable season. You most certainly made the most out of it. It's great to touch base with you, and we'll be catching you today at noon, I'm quite sure. I mean, you might even have a nice guest off the top.
Pat Kreitler off the top, along with Trent V. Olsen. Lots going on to catch up. Lots of news. So don't miss it today.
All right. There you go. So catch Todd all but noon. Thank you, sir. Have a great morning.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you a little later, Greg. Thank you as much. We'll talk to you in the morning. And to all of you listening, thanks so much. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio
Talk.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. New information about a deadly two-plane collision in Japan yesterday.
Investigators looking into why Japan Airlines Flight 516 collided with a small Coast Guard plane released communications records showing that in the final minutes before the accident, Flight 516 received